Well, good morning, church. It is an honor to be here once again to deliver the final sermon of the year. I've been doing this longer than I care to remember, so this is the one sermon where I know exactly where it's going to be every year. It's easy to plan for. The other ones kind of get sprinkled in throughout the year, and I typically get advance warning, but yeah. For those of you that I haven't had a chance or an opportunity to meet, my name is Pat Aldridge. I'm Community Life Pastor at Redeemer Fellowship. This year has been a weird year. I think we can all agree it's been quite a year. 2020 has thrown us all for a loop. Life has been disrupted in almost every facet. We're wearing masks in public now. We've had to limit the sizes of our gatherings. We're not sure how to greet each other, if we can handshake, if we have to elbow bump, which I think is weird, but that's me. We've had stay-at-home orders, and we've had businesses shut down all around us. Life has definitely changed. But on the flip side of that, there are some things that haven't changed. The biggest being the mission of the church. The mission that Jesus himself gave us to make disciples. And around Redeemer, we like to say it this way, that we're called to make disciples as disciples. And this begs the question, how are we doing in the area of discipleship? Because like it or not, we're always discipling. The question is, what are we discipling others towards? Are you a disciple of technology? Are you always hiding behind a screen? Are you a disciple of the latest political argument? Or maybe you're a disciple of the latest video game release. The bottom line here is that whatever we spend the most time doing, you're discipling people around you about what's important. As you can tell from the program, we're going to be in the book of Mark, so feel free to start turning to chapter 1. We're going to move throughout the book this morning. I've spent the better part of this year studying this gospel. I'm on my third read-through at this point. And this whole year, I've seen more and more what Mark has to say about discipleship. And while I shouldn't be surprised that I find this concept here, it was pretty evident early on that I had missed it the last time I went through Mark. When I say discipleship, what I mean is this, and here's how we're going to define it this morning. The ongoing process of becoming a committed follower of Jesus with all the spiritual discipline and benefits this brings. Let me read that again. The ongoing process of becoming a committed follower of Jesus with all the spiritual discipline and benefits this brings. As we spend a second thinking about this definition, it'd be hard to miss the point that discipleship is about obedience, to do what Christ has called us to do. It's also hard to miss the fact that this doesn't happen in a vacuum, that we can't do it on our own. When left to ourselves, reading the Bible to ourselves, studying theology ourselves, it's pretty easy to come up with some pretty wonky ideas, which is why we need others. But what does discipleship look like practically? I like to think about it this way, and I like to talk about it this way, that discipleship is walking with someone who's a little bit further down the spiritual road than you are and allowing them to be your spiritual mom or dad in order that we can learn to be of service to those who are a little bit behind us on that same spiritual road and becoming their brothers and sisters. It means both being discipled and doing the work of discipling. Both of these things are necessary. Because without both, we're missing opportunities to be fruitful. And there's this sweet spot in any discipling relationship where it actually becomes mutual. It starts out with a discipler and a disciplee, but as time goes on, the discipleship becomes mutual. There's a teaching and a learning that goes both ways. Discipleship means growing in our understanding of the privileges, joys, and cost of this calling. Here's what I want us to see this morning. That discipleship is nothing less than obedient service. Discipleship is nothing less than obedient service. What we're going to see this morning is it's definitely more than that, but it's not less than that. We'll see it in three ways as we move throughout the book of Mark. First, we're going to look at the call of discipleship. Secondly, we'll look at what discipleship does and does not consist of. And then third, we'll see the role of faith in discipleship. And before we start reading this morning, there are just two disclaimers that I have. Number one, we're going to be looking at several passages. Most of them I'll read, some of them I'll just reference. Secondly, even with the amount of passages we're looking at, this is still more of an overview, more of a cursory look at the topic, because much more can be said. If you join me in prayer, please. Father, we pray for open hearts and open minds. Lord, we pray that you challenge us this morning, that you grow our faith, that we are challenged to look at 2021 as a year of discipleship. I pray these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Point number one, the call of discipleship. Please look with me at Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 16. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going just a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This is the calling of the first disciples, men who would eventually become the apostles. The subject of this call is simple. It says, follow me. Jesus says, follow me. Don't follow my system. Don't follow a program, but follow me. Follow a person. You see, the subject of this call is Jesus, and it always is. This call is a call to service, to become fishers of men. And as these four come together, it forms this fellowship, this community that is needed in order for discipleship to take place. What we also see here is that the call demands a response. Jesus says to Simon and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets to follow him. With James and John, it was the same. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired hands to follow him. Part of being a disciple is proclaiming this message to follow Christ. And the Bible reminds us that his word never returns void. And so we're called to be faithful with that message. And as we're faithful with the message, there's going to be a response. If we look at Mark chapter 3, starting at verse 13, it says this. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those who he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. The call of discipleship, the key to discipleship, is being with Jesus. Here are the 12 apostles being brought together for the first time. And what we learn real quick is discipleship is a who before it's a what. It's being with Jesus before it's taking his message to the world. You can't call yourself a disciple if you aren't being with Jesus personally. You can't call yourself a disciple if you aren't sharing what God is teaching you with those closest to you. We should be sharing what God is doing in our lives with our family, with our church family, with your friends and neighbors, and with your coworkers. The key is to be with Jesus. But just proximity to Jesus isn't enough. If you look at chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "And when his family heard it, they went to seize him, for they were saying he is out of his mind." Now jump down to verse 31. "And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they said to him and called him, and the crowd was sitting around him. They said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking around at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" Here's the people that knew Jesus the best: his mom and his brothers, his family. Yet they didn't understand the significance of the life that he had lived for 30 years before them. They didn't understand that his life was perfect, that he never did anything wrong, that God had a plan for him. And so we need to be careful about being in Jesus' presence, because being in his presence does not equate to faith. We're to put our hope in him and not presume upon him. Discipleship is nothing less than obedient service. So as we continue throughout the book of Mark, we're going to look at what discipleship does and does not consist of. Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 27. This is Peter's confession of Christ. "Jesus went on with the disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, 'Who do the people say that I am?' And they told him, 'John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets.' And he asked them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered him, 'You are the Christ.' And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him." Discipleship cannot be done and does not consist of being just a spectator. Peter didn't figure out who Christ was by sitting on the sidelines. He figured it out in the midst of being with Jesus and walking with him through this journey. For you and me, we need to move from passive recipients to active participants. Because again, we can't call ourselves a disciple if we aren't growing our faith personally, and if we aren't sharing what God is teaching us. Because what God has given to us is meant to be given away. The gospel came to you on its way to somebody else. Mark chapter 9. Starting at verse 33. "And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you discussing on the way?' But they kept silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Discipleship does consist of commitment. And the reason that Jesus had to correct the disciples' thinking here is because they were looking out for themselves. They were letting their ambition impede the fellowship and the following that they were supposed to be doing. Because discipleship is about service, not entitlement. Discipleship requires being fully devoted and totally committed to Christ. Which begs the question, are you fully committed, or is your commitment half-hearted? Because if you aren't fully committed, you aren't a true disciple. What Jesus reminds us here is to be great at the things that matter to God. Discipleship is about obedient service. So what role does faith play in all this? Look with me at Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with the disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. We see with Bartimaeus that it was his faith that made him well. He believed Jesus could do what he was asking. And he responded correctly by following Jesus. Because faith that does not lead to discipleship isn't saving faith. What Bartimaeus teaches us is that the kingdom of God is not for the well, but for the desperate. Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Simone, brought spices that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And it's not until later that Mary Magdalene has an encounter with the risen Lord. And the empty tomb is important for proof that Jesus raised from the dead. But the empty tomb can't save us. It's having an encounter with the risen Lord that brings about faith. A faith that consists of actively following Jesus and acting on his behalf. And our job in discipleship is to be witnesses of that, to proclaim that, and leave the results to God. Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 14. After he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had saw him after he was risen, he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." What gets in the way of faithful obedience? Fear. Unbelief. Hardness of heart. But as we do come to faith, there are consequences for that faith as well. We can be assured that God is who he says he is, that he does the things he says he's going to do. And because of that knowledge, we can experience great peace. And along with that peace, we can have great power to do what God has called us to do. We need to move from unbelief to belief. We need to hear the gospel. And we need to have an experience of a personal encounter with the crucified and risen Savior. Discipleship is nothing less than obedient service. If we're going to be true disciples, there are 9 questions we need to be asking ourselves as we move throughout the book of Mark. 9 questions that need to be asked and answered. Think about Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Jesus is teaching in a packed out space. 4 friends bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus, hoping that Jesus can heal him. But they can't get their friend to Jesus. So what do? They climb up on the roof, dig a hole in the roof, and lower their friend down in front of Jesus. One of the many things that this story teaches us is that if an opening to Jesus can't be found, it must be made. So question number 1, are you doing all you can to make a way to Jesus for yourself and others? As most of us think about this question, we have to admit we could be doing more. My challenge to you is to figure out your more. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute, so stick with me. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31, the story of the rich young man who believes he's doing everything necessary to go to heaven. What he doesn't realize and what he teaches us is that discipleship comes at a cost. As disciples, we are not to forget our poverty and our childlikeness. Because the irony here is that a discipleship that costs takes from those who would want to follow the pattern of the world and gives things that no one could imagine. Question number 2. Have you counted the cost of following Jesus, and are you willing to pay whatever it takes? Remember, there are 2 enemies to discipleship and faith, at least 2 enemies. The first one being self-satisfaction. Question number 3, are you more self-focused or self-sacrificial? Along with that self-satisfaction comes pride. Question number 4, does your pride tell you that you can handle it by yourself and that you do not have to dependently rely on Jesus? Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. This is the story where James and John make a request of Jesus to sit at his left and his right when he comes into his glory and into his kingdom. This story reminds us that discipleship entails service and sacrifice. Question number 5. Do you look for ways to sacrificially serve, or are you looking for ways to advance your position? Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 42. It's Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prays, "Father, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus models for us what trust and obedience looks like. And as we look at this story, we have to come to the place where we understand that trusting and obeying aren't our natural defaults. But we have this ongoing struggle with temptation and weakness. Question number 6, are you growing in your trust and obedience to the Lord? Mark chapter 14, verses 66 to 72, Peter's denial. We know that Peter followed Jesus through all the kangaroo courts before he was crucified. And instead of boldly proclaiming that he was a friend of Jesus, he decided to take the safer route to just simply be an observer. What this teaches us about discipleship is done with ordinary and simple actions and words. A faithful witness happens in the everyday. It's our everyday actions and words that show who we really are and what we really believe. Parents, it's the everyday mom and dad stuff. Students, it's the everyday student stuff. It's the everyday friend stuff, everyday employee stuff. The problem is that a lot of the time we take the easy route, and in doing so, we betray what we believe. Question number 7. How do we close the gap between what we claim to believe and what we actually practice? Mark 15, 21 to 32. We're on the way to the cross. And here, Simon of Cyrene is pulled out of the crowd to carry the cross that Jesus is too weak to carry because of what he's gone through. And here we're reminded of the distinguishing mark of Christianity, being willing to take up our cross to follow Jesus. So question number 8, what does it look like for you to take up your cross? Mark chapter 15, verses 42 to 47, the story of Joseph of Arimathea. Here's a guy who was part of the religious elite, but was also seeking the kingdom of God. And a virtue of every disciple is to be looking for the kingdom. Because as Joseph of Arimathea found the kingdom of Jesus, or the kingdom of God in Jesus, it gave him courage to go ask for Jesus' body and to be able to put it in a tomb as a service to the Lord. Question number 9, are you looking to build God's kingdom or your own? Discipleship is nothing less than obedient service. When we talk about obedient service, what should be our motivation? Our motivation should be because we want to, because of everything that Christ has done for us. But more than likely, and maybe especially this year, we've been motivated by a have to. We've been motivated by a misguided sense of responsibility. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44, where Jesus feeds 5,000 with some loaves and fishes. Here the disciples are told to feed this huge crowd, and they don't get it. There's this great demand that's put on them, and the first thing they do is try to figure out how to do it themselves instead of depending upon Jesus. The one sliver of hope for them is that at least while they didn't fully understand what Jesus was asking them to do, they were faithful and obedient to do what he said. When Jesus said, "Separate the crowd, now pass this out," they did, even though they didn't understand. We talked a few minutes ago about having a lack of faith or a hardness of heart. A lack of faith says God can't do this. A hardness of heart says God won't do this. Both of those things endanger discipleship. Where the disciples often failed, Jesus was obedient in the service God called him to. He walked in close relationship with the Father and understood his mission. According to Philippians 2:8, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So if we're truly going to be disciples, if we're truly going to give obedient service, how do we do that? How do we grow in obedient service? It's with the more I talked about earlier. We need to be spending more time in God's word, not less. We need to be studying and understanding theology more, not less. We need to be growing in the means of grace and using them more, not less. We need to be growing in the gospel more, not less. We need to be growing with Jesus more, not less. And if we're going to be obedient and serve, what's the goal? The goal is God. Not a program, not a curriculum, but developing a God-centered vision for our lives. And the blessing here is that God is not only the goal, but he's also the means by which this happens. Because remember, it's God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, and God's sacrifice that makes discipleship possible. So to the believers in this room, what's your more? To those of you in this room who have yet to believe, my encouragement to you is to seek the Lord while he may be found. Discipleship that doesn't lead to the cross isn't true discipleship at all. Discipleship is learning about Christ's supremacy in all things, in all areas of life. Discipleship is nothing less than obedient service. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for an opportunity to look into your word, to be reminded of the importance of making disciples as disciples. Lord, use 2021 to accomplish your goals in this area. It's in your name that we pray and for your glory. Amen.